And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the Southeast U.S. of A. Y'all have talked about this show, this show. I mean, it goes like Huntsville back over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden. I mean, all the way down to that loveliest little village on the plains we call Auburn is right across the line from there to what we now call, once again, Fort Benning. And then big old patches of North Georgia and Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. And that's just the radio. Then there's all y'all out there in the whole wide world going to the World Wide Web, live streaming the show, looking in the studio right now, live streaming on places like X and YouTube and Facebook and Rumble and our website, rightsidemedia.org. And then all you podcasters who catch it after the fact, it means the world to us. No matter where you catch this show, I will just say, multiple times per show, I try to make sure you understand how thankful we are for you. I try to mention where we are, but by saying that, I'm saying you, the listeners, are there. And the fact that you're there is the only reason why we do this. Thank you very much. That being said, let me jump into a topic. I'm going to close out the show. This was not one of the dippers for the day, but I got to address what's about to happen, which is significant historically. My own father, by the way, JP's grandfather, was engaged in giving feedback and input to the Reagan-Gorbachev summit at Reykjavik. It's a major deal that helped bring down the Iron Curtain in many ways. And I'm watching to see what's going to happen with Trump-Putin this week. Does it feel historic to that level? I don't know, but I will tell you this. It's the first time that that Putin has been on U.S. soil since 2015, so we're talking 10 years. And they're meeting at Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson, which is in Alaska, in Anchorage. Trump's going to be arriving there tomorrow. My understanding is their first meeting occurs sometime around 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, local time, and that it's just going to be the two presidents and two interpreters, and that's it. They're not having the big, you know, line the table with everybody, dog and pony show. There will probably be some dog and pony. They can't have two presidents of their major countries like that and not have some dog and pony, but the first thing they're going to do, and Trump is very prone to this. If you notice, Trump, of course, the art of the deal, he's used to making deals. Trump believes that he can get one-on-one and actually make things happen better very often. That being said, what do we expect out of tomorrow? There is talk right now that Ukraine is going to be asked to give up ground. And I understand Ukraine's angst in that. Keep in mind, Ukraine has already lost the entire Crimean Peninsula. They did. During the Obama era, they lost the entire Crimean Peninsula. It was just annexed and gone the next day. And that apparently wasn't enough for Putin, and so he wanted more. Let us not mistake the idea in any way that this was just about NATO being on his next door. This was not, I have to do this for the safety of my own nation. No, Putin just really wanted what Ukraine had. Ukraine is the breadbasket of Eastern Europe. Ukraine has got more nuclear power than anybody else in Europe. And I'm talking about energy power. Ukraine has rich natural resources. In fact, you may recall, we heard most recently, they've discovered a massive deposit of rare earth minerals. Where are those rare earth minerals? In the Donbass region, which is along the eastern rim of Ukraine in the major fighting zones. There's a lot there that Putin wants. And yet, for the last several years, I will say this, you got to admire the Ukrainians. They have been putting the wood to them. Except, here's the problem. There has been no milestone. There has been no plan. There has been no phase line. There has been no markers on the wall. What are the high water marks? We don't know. You know why? Because Biden's foreign policy was zero. Absolutely zero. Biden's foreign policy was a checkbook. That's all it was. If you wonder for a second why members of the conservative right have lost the love for the war in Ukraine and want to see it over with, it's because Biden spent us into oblivion and also, oh, by the way, got us down to the fact that we are depleting our own resources militarily in order to prop up the fight. Do I want Russia to win? Absolutely not. They don't deserve it. Do I want them to gain territory? They don't deserve it. But that being said, this war is going to have to come to an end, or there will have to be a major shift in how the support for them goes. Some of the coups that we have seen most recently, I use that term loosely, but some of the shift in the dynamics that we've seen most recently are the Trump administration doing things that the Biden administration never did. Biden just said, how much do you need? We're in it for the long haul. Empty stare. which way do I leave to exit the stage? Does somebody have pudding? I mean, that was the Biden administration's plan. Now what we're saying is, hey, NATO members, how about Western Europe? How about the rest of Eastern Europe? How about Poland? How about all of y'all that have been supplying some measure of assistance? How about you pony up more, because the United States is on the far side of the world and we should not have to be carrying this fight. We can provide, but here's what we're going to do. We will sell weapon systems to NATO countries. You guys decide if you want to sell them to Ukraine. We're not going to keep just giving stuff away. Javelin missiles made right here in Alabama have been taking out Russian tanks now for the last 4 years. But that being said, it can't go on 3 years. It can't go on forever. Trump is right to have this meeting. There are those who are vilifying him on the left for daring to meet with Putin. You're soft on Putin. Does anybody think that soft on Putin is making sure that more weapon systems are now available to the Ukrainians? No. Does anybody think that soft on Putin is the threat of the sanctions that he's going to put on Russia if they don't come to a terms real soon? No. And oh, by the way, this is what you do. When you're a statesman, when you have the ability to actually be a mediator, you don't sit outside the door and write checks and slide them under the door and hope things get better. You actually go there and you get in the mix. That's what leaders do. And so what we're watching right now is Trump doing what Trump does best. He's never been afraid to walk into a boardroom. He's never been afraid to walk into a stiff meeting. He's never been afraid to balance the budget. He's never been afraid to go down a road that nobody else would go. And he's going there. And he's going to meet tomorrow with Putin. Some are saying, why is Zelensky not there? Why is Zelensky? Zelensky will be there. In fact, we understand that he spoke to Zelensky on the phone, I think, yesterday. So it's not like this is just being done just to give Putin his own voice. No, he's hearing from Putin. And JP, you were reading me earlier that he's talking about meeting number two on this.
Well, he said that's the purpose of this meeting is to set up I'll just read his quote. He said, this meeting sets up the second meeting. The second meeting is going to be very important because that's going to be a meeting where they actually make a deal. And then he said, the second meeting will be important. It's like a chess game. He said, but there's a 25% chance that this meeting will not be a successful meeting and there won't be a second meeting. So essentially, he's saying, you know, this should just lead to a second meeting where they actually, you know, put pen to paper and make a deal, hopefully.
It's an icebreaker.
But like he said, there's a 25% chance, in his own words, of Putin not liking anything and then nothing getting done at all. And it's just not a good meeting. So,
and don't forget, I think it was with North Korea, but or maybe China. Trump has gotten up and walked out of meetings before.
Yeah.
In his last term, it was not unheard of for him to be in negotiations, think they weren't going well or weren't being done in good faith, and decided to go ahead and just, you know what, we're out of here. And literally leave a day or two early and leave the other side sitting at the table going, oh, crap, that just happened.
And, I mean, Putin himself is the one that said he wanted to do a summit. So, I don't know. Hopefully that means he's open to talking, or maybe that means – I don't know. I guess I'm a bit more optimistic that this can actually lead to a second meeting if Putin's the one that wanted it. But at the same time, you never know. Like, Putin could not like what Trump's saying, and then they're, nope, you know, that's it. But I don't know.
Let's talk about logistics, too. Trump did not act like a envoy and fly to see Putin. He's got Putin coming to America.
I think that is a big point. I know we talked about it yesterday. I think That's a big part of the, like, that's not little.
No, it's not little at all. And like I said a moment ago, Putin hasn't been on U.S. soil now in 10 years. But the fact that Putin is coming to a meeting on a U.S. military base, I mean, we're not even talking about the White House. He's actually going to be at Joint Base. I believe that's where the 11th Airborne is stationed. So this has got some visual effect to it. There's some eye candy, I'm sure, involved. There's also going to be the sense of things that, in essence, Putin came to Trump, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So we'll see how it goes. But I think right now this is the thing that has to happen. And this war won't be ended without it.
I think that's part of the art of the deal thing, too. Like when Trump went to Scotland and then hosted the people in Scotland at his own property in Scotland. So, like, there's a hosting aspect to it that I think Trump knows is important. So Trump, like, I agree with exactly what you said. Trump being the person that's hosting Putin is important.
Wait, does he own a golf course in Alaska?
Can you imagine if he went to Russia and he hosted Putin at his like property in Russia or something? Like, I'm going to go to Russia and then host you. Yeah.
I'll call the staff. Tell them to give you a good room.
Yeah.
Make you a good rate. Well, that's tomorrow. That is happening tomorrow. President Trump leaves out first thing in the morning. The delegations, of course, each side has their own security and all the things it takes to do. But the reality is the first meeting is designed to be small, rather intimate setting. Two men and their interpreters will see where it goes. In the meantime, where we're going is to a break. We'll take a break right now. We'll come right back, get some of your text messages, and close out the day. Tomorrow, by the way, I'm headed to CNN. It looks like I'm going to be up in Washington, D.C. myself to be on CNN tomorrow night. I'll stay tuned on that one. I'll give you more details when I know them. But bottom line is, still planning on doing the show, at least from a secret bunker in Washington, D.C. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.